This is the State of Things from the Museum of Natural Sciences in Raleigh. I'm Frank Stasio. New fiscal year is underway, but the legislature had yet to reach agreement on budget adjustments, and for a while it looked like they were a long way apart. In fact, as late as last night, Senate Rules Committee Chair took one look at the House budget, Tom Apodaca, and here's what he said about that.
I just might put it in the trash can. I don't know. We're not going to do anything with that bill. I appreciate it. It may lay in limbo. Let's get a budget done, a real budget.
In the trash can, lay in limbo. Sounds like they were a long way apart. But there was news this morning. The House and Senate actually met together and have made some progress on that. Rima Kreis joins us now. She is our reporter who covers legislative events and affairs with regard to education. Rima, first, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us what happened this morning.
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise for a lot of people. So the Senate yesterday said that they want to hold an open public conference committee to start getting going on the sluggish negotiations. And they didn't invite the House until after they sent out the notice about the meeting. So people weren't sure if they were going to show up. Lo and behold, they did show up. And not only did they show up, but they were very diplomatic about negotiations and started getting the ball rolling on these budget talks. And so just to lay out what sort of has been the stumbling block, Medicaid has been the biggest sticking point, I would say. The House has been wanting to, that the senators are saying that the House isn't setting aside enough money to account for cost overruns and the health insurance program for the low income and disabled. And the Senate says, you know, we have to, you know, there's always, we always have this extra money every year when we set aside money for Medicaid, or we have to end up filling these backlogs, so we need to have a worst case scenario and set aside a lot of money. They were going back and forth on that, and today they said, okay, why don't we meet in the middle?
So, at last I looked, I think the Senate was going to spend an extra $250 million more than what the House had proposed. Now they're talking about meeting in the middle. We don't know exactly what that means, but it does sound like there's compromise in the works there. And then, of course, they were also quite far apart on teacher pay. In fact, the House and the governor had proposed a kind of separate budget for all of that so that they could move forward. The House wanted to raise teacher pay by 5%, and the Senate proposed an 11% pay increase for teachers. Am I right? But they had to give up job security.
Also relates to Medicaid, because they wanted to put in a lot of money, set a lot of money aside for Medicaid, but House leaders were saying, if you set aside this much money, that comes at the expense of other programs, namely, in this case, teacher assistance. They would cut more than 7,000 teacher assistants in the second and third grades to help pay for the pay raises and to put aside more money for Medicaid. So now, but, you know, that was in the past. Now they say that they're going to come toward the middle with Medicaid estimates. But, you know, they still have to hammer out a lot of the details. They'll start going to subcommittees next week to talk about it. And there's still lots of other issues on the table.
All right. But again, last night, Tom Apodaca in the Senate saying he's going to throw the House budget. If they bring that same one back, he'd throw it in the trash. Today, they get together. Nelson Dollar, a representative, Republican representative from Wake County, and the chair of the budget committee in the House, had this to say.
We have been listening carefully to all of our previous conversations, and the clear message that we have received, Senator Brown, from you and your excellent group, is meet us in the middle. Let's meet in the middle. Let's find a way to meet in the middle.
And apparently they have done that.
Yeah, the Senate came back and they said, okay, you know, we'll do that. And then Dollar actually said, you know, you haven't sold us on the car yet, but we do like some of the features.
Now, is that strictly Medicaid, or are we talking about the education budget as well?
That's strictly Medicaid. And, you know, because House leaders did come out with a scaled-down spending plan last week that just focused mainly on giving teachers pay raises, just as they figure out budget negotiations. They said, we want to give some clarity to teachers. But lots of senators were saying that was just a political gimmick, and they refused it, which is what we heard earlier.
So that's
probably going to be dead.
That's not going to happen. So it won't be a separate package. It'll all be part of the same package. But we assume that this sort of meeting in the middle may also apply to the education budget as well, or was that not on the table today?
Yeah, they didn't take it up today, but it's likely that they will next week. You know, they still have to address the fact that the Senate wants to cut 7,000 teacher assistants. They want to give teachers an average 11% pay raise, but only for those who give up their job protections, which is commonly referred to as teacher tenure. And House leaders don't want that. They want teachers to keep their job protection.
All right, so we'll see. And then so this has to play out. Each of these leaders, these committee chair, have to go back, their subcommittee. So we don't have a final deal yet.
But it's a big turning point. It really is. After all these sluggish negotiations, and, you know, they'll go for the long weekend and they'll come back, and I think they'll be more rejuvenated and ready to tackle it.
All right. Rima Crais is covering the State House, as is Jorge Valencia. He walked across the street here to the Nature Research Center, where we have a studio, and there was activity today. And, of course, what you're looking at is how to handle those coal ash pits and what to do about these environmental questions. What's going on this morning?
Well, this morning, the members of the House Environment Committee unveiled publicly their new proposal on how to handle the 33 coal ash ponds that Duke Energy owns across the state. And what they say is that it builds on proposals that we've seen from Governor Pat McCrory and what we've seen, a bill that was passed from the Senate last week. Actually, Senator Tom Apodaca from Hendersonville, who's, you know, the number two in command in the Senate, is also a key player in this story also, because he was sort of like the lead proponent of that bill in the Senate. And House members said that they were building on these plans, and in fact they are. The changes that they've made to the Senate bill were not huge. Namely, two things that some of the Democrats have pointed out, and some of the environmental groups have also noticed, is that this doesn't change anything. That we still have a 15-year timeline for Duke Energy to deal with all the 33 ponds, and there is no kind of a provision pertaining to who's going to pay for the cleanup, because it's going to be an expensive process. Duke Energy has said that, according to their estimates, if they had to excavate all the coal ash from all the ponds, it would be like $10 billion, up to $10 billion. And somebody brought it up during a hearing this morning, and Representative Chuck McGrady, who's a Republican, also from Henderson County, had something to say about that.
We're not deciding the cost issue here. It's just too big an issue for us to decide. The Senate put in place a moratorium that ends before the General Assembly comes back is probably a mistake, and so we've moved that moratorium back.
That's Chuck McGrady from Henderson County talking about, and the Senate had the more aggressive plan, and again, here we find the House and the governor aligned on what to do with coal ash, as they are on the education budget.
Yeah, I think I think perhaps it would be safe to say there aren't huge departures from what the House was handed over. One of the differences is maybe in some of the schedule that's happening right now. You know, what Representative McGrady was mentioning regarding this moratorium is they've sort of implemented a restriction on Duke Energy from being able to ask the State Utilities Commission whether they can raise their rates because of how much money it's going to cost them to clean up these ponds.
And that still is the big question. And Representative Pricey Harrison of Guilford County addressed that. The question, who's going to pay for this, right?
That was one of the things that she brought up. And she was also, she had a series of other things that she was concerned about.
Let's listen.
I'm concerned that the bill allows a continued disposal for 5.5 years of wet coal ash, even though we know it's a problem now. I'm concerned about the mandate capping in place for the low-risk ponds. Or I'm concerned that the commission gets to veto proposed closure based on cost. I don't think there's any cost that can, when you're talking about the public health, I don't think any cost is too high.
That's a public utilities commission that she's talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What about, there was a difference between the House and Senate over whether there would be an independent commission that would look at this, or whether or Diener would have responsibility for oversight of the cleanup.
That's actually one of the changes in this new proposal. This coal ash commission would have been independent, according to the bill that the Senate passed. This morning, Representative Ruth Samuelson, who is one of the lead lead sponsors of this version of the bill here in the House. She's from Charlotte. She said that they thought that it would make more sense that this commission be under the Department of Environment and Natural Resources, simply because there's going to be a lot of really close work that they're going to have to be doing. You know, the way that she put it, it seems like there's logistically it makes sense. You know, you could also see it as perhaps it adds a little bit more oversight for the governor, because that's, you know, that's under the executive branch.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was one of the big questions, is the political perhaps interference if the governor appoints those commissioners. You know, should there be somebody independent who's overseeing this particular cleanup?
The appointments are coming from the governor's office and from the General Assembly. And one of the changes now is that the governor is going to be able to say who the chair of that nine-member commission is going to be.
So does it look like they're close and we might see a final agreement pretty soon?
You know what? It seems like we're pretty close because we're going to have this is at a committee this morning. It has to get seen by a finance committee because this involves money. And then the full House is probably going to vote on this afternoon, and then they'll have to vote on it again and probably tomorrow. And so, you know, this could be headed to the governor's office maybe next week.
All right. Well, they're still working, so we'll let you go across the street and find out more. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jorge Valencia, WUNC's Capitol reporter. Rima Crace, WUNC education reporter. On the state of things, live from the Museum of Natural Sciences in Raleigh. Just ahead, I got my face super glued, and you can see, if you go online right now to stateofthings.org, very soon you will see the mite taken from my face. You'll see it on the State of Things, which is a radio show from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.